We're very slowly going through this wonderful book called James in the New Testament, and we have made it to chapter 3, so turn there. And let's pray together. Lord, we recognize that we all are involved in a tremendous battle that's taking place in our culture. Battle for minds, the battle for souls, the war over truth. Lord, the enemy spreads lies. The danger of philosophies that are man-made. All around us. But you've given us truth. Lord, may we be students of your truth. May we understand your truth. And may we be communicators of truth. That we would unabashedly stand up for truth. Bless this time, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're only going to consider one verse this morning, but it does bring up a very, very important subject. The whole idea of teaching in the church, the serious nature of teaching in the church, the serious responsibility that teachers have in the church. Look at our verse. Let's read it. Notice what James says. Verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. That's a pretty serious verse, isn't it? My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now, James is speaking about a specific kind of teacher. He is not speaking about vocational teachers here. He's not speaking about teachers in the public school system or in a college or a university, not a teacher of mathematics or science or economics or any of that, although those roles are extremely important in our country, are they not? And God bless our teachers, especially the teachers that are seeking to shine for Christ in the public school system. But that is not what James is speaking about here. Here he is speaking about those who teach God's truth. Those who give instruction to others on the Christian faith. Specifically, he is speaking about those who teach the Word of God, the Bible, the Scripture. Those are the teachers in mind. And so obviously this would include the Christian men and women who are called by the Lord into a teaching ministry. This would include all the Christian men and women who have been gifted and anointed by the Holy Spirit as teachers in the church. The New Testament is very clear that teaching is a supernatural spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit given to some Christians. A supernatural endowment of the Holy Spirit placed upon some Christians that enables them to teach in a very dynamic way. And oftentimes, teachers like that are also called to fill roles of leadership in the church, offices in the church. In fact, the Greek word for teacher is didaskalos, which has an element of authority to it. So this would, without a doubt, include pastors, elders, deacons, recognized Christian leaders, formal roles. This would also speak of Christian men and women who have the gift of teaching, but they use it in more informal ways. So clearly, James is speaking about that kind of a teacher. However, not just that kind of a teacher. The way I read the New Testament, we are all teachers as Christians. We all have an obligation to teach. There is somebody in every one of our lives that we can teach God's truth to. The Great Commission was given to the church at large. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them my commandments." So we all have a place to teach. You can't say, "Hey, listen, I don't have the spiritual gift of teaching. I'm turning off right now. This isn't for me. I don't teach." If you're a parent, you have a responsibility to teach your children. The church has a responsibility to teach children, to come alongside. We all have a responsibility to work with brand new believers and teach them, maybe one-on-one in discipling. We all have that element of teaching that is needed. You know, the Bible teaches that some Christians have the gift of evangelism. Does that mean they're the only Christians that witness? Of course not. We're all called to witness. Some Christians have the gift of giving. They give generously to the Lord's work. Does that mean they're the only ones supposed to give? Of course not. You should see your spiritual gift as your major. That's where you operate in mostly. That's where you focus your attention. That's how God has called you. But that does not diminish your responsibility in all the other areas of ministry. And let me just say this. Teaching is desperately needed in the church. It is desperately needed in every single aspect of church life. From teaching pastors in a pulpit to teachers of home Bible study fellowship groups, teachers in a men's ministry, a women's ministry, a youth ministry, a children's ministry, teachers that teach what God's word has to say in the area of finances or marriage or parenting, teaching the scripture in a counseling situation, in a one-on-one situation, in a discipleship situation, let me tell you, desperately needed. Teachers are needed in every aspect of the church. And you know why they're desperately needed? Listen carefully. Teaching is the primary vehicle through which Christians grow up. Teaching is the primary vehicle through which Christians mature in the faith. It is through teaching that Christians are equipped to become mature Christians, to become good witnesses for Jesus Christ, to live for Christ, to become aware of all that they have in Christ. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, "And he himself, the Lord, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." Do you see that? Teaching is, if it's not there in the church, individual Christians don't grow up. You have to have it. There is a huge difference between preaching and teaching. Did you know that? You know what preaching is? It's the proclamation of the gospel. It's evangelizing. It's where you go and you share the gospel and you tell people how they can be saved and their need for Jesus Christ. And people get saved through the preaching of the gospel. When a person gets saved through the preaching of the gospel, the scripture says they're a newborn babe. Just alive spiritually. Now, after a person gets saved and becomes a newborn babe in Christ, that's where teaching must kick in. So that newborn babe is matured in Christ. Now, let me ask you this. What if a church only preached the gospel Sunday after Sunday? Which, by the way, we do. I always throw the gospel in, don't I? But let's say that every time we got together, it was purely evangelistic, where I purely shared a gospel message. People would get saved, but I'd be preaching to those who are already saved most of the time, telling those who are already saved how to get saved over and over and over again. Talk about preaching to the choir, right? Teaching has to happen so that those who are saved begin to grow and flourish and blossom. Teaching, very, very important and desperately needed. However, it's very clear in this text that teaching is a very serious matter, isn't it? And it's to be taken very seriously. In fact, James gives a very strong caution here, doesn't he? My brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Now, James, why are you saying that? We need teachers. Why are you discouraging people from becoming teachers? He's not. He's not seeking to diminish the pool of teachers that are needed. The gist of what James is saying here is teachers better be teaching for the right reasons. Those who teach better be serious about it, recognizing that they are held to a higher accountability. See, here's what's going on. The church, in that church to which James is writing this letter to, there were a lot of folks wanting to be teachers. There were a lot of people, it would seem, even competing to be teachers. They were presuming to be teachers. In fact, the NIV version of the Bible translates this verse this way. I'll just read it to you. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. There were a lot of folks in that local church presuming to be teachers. It seems that they were unduly ambitious about becoming teachers. Too many in that local church that were wanting that office of teacher. And they were doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, you can want to be a teacher in the church for the wrong reason. Did you know that? Remember that James was written very early on in the part of church history, and the first Christians were Jews that became Christians. And so the church really came out of this synagogue environment. And in the synagogue, the rabbi was king. The rabbi held this incredible position of power. He was honored, respected, given prestige. And it became an enviable position for some people. Ooh, I'd like to be the rabbi. In fact, rabbi means the teacher. It can also be translated as my great one.
Oh, Rabbi, my great one.
I even read that you should be more willing to help your rabbi than your parent in those days. If your rabbi got kidnapped and your parents got kidnapped, you'd pay the ransom for your rabbi first. And so the rabbis held this place of power and control, and they became the super elite spiritual class, and they were literally treated like celebrities. The teacher. And unfortunately, some of that garbage poured over into the early church, where Christians were competing for that. They were wanting the office of teacher and this place of leadership for their own personal power. And so James is writing, basically the gist of this verse is, hold on, folks, back the truck up. What are your motivations there at that church to teach? We need teachers, but they better be teaching for the right reasons. And they better take it very seriously. Now, that kind of thing was happening on in the early part of church history. Unfortunately, it's happened throughout church history, hasn't it? Power struggles in the church, people wanting positions of authority. Kent Hughes says, often instead of being Christ-driven people, believers are need-driven in public ministry. The need for public attention, to be thought intelligent, to show oneself wiser than others, to have influence and authority. Such persons not only scramble to places of verbal prominence, but scheme to climb the ladder to be president of the work or chairman of this or that committee. There's a lot of people that do that in the church. They want power. They want to show off. They want to be big shots in the eyes of everyone. And boy, is it dangerous when a person like that gets into a position of authority. They become like these dictators throwing their weight around. I'm the pastor, you obey me. What I say goes. Is that the type of teaching that we need in the church? That is the type of teaching that should be avoided. That is the type of leadership that should be avoided. You shouldn't allow yourself to be taught by teachers like that. You should certainly not become a teacher like that. We need teachers. But we need teachers who do it for the right reasons. We are to be accountable. We are to recognize the serious nature. It does say in verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You know what the Greek word there is for stricter? It's the Greek word megas. You know what you get from that? Mega. Those who teach will receive a mega judgment. That means they have a stricter judgment. And you need to know that. You're more accountable as a teacher. What are you accountable to? Who are you accountable to? The Lord. What are you accountable for? Well, hopefully you're teaching what's right. The Lord will say what the motivation is. He knows what the motivation is behind your teaching, why you want to teach. Certainly, those who are teachers better practice what they teach, don't you think? to be a Christian teacher and leader, teaching people how to do all kinds of things, and then you go out and you live your life in a completely different way? What blatant hypocrisy. You know, as Christians, we will stand before the Lord at the Bema Seat Judgment. And our works will be evaluated. Now, we're saved, but man, we want to do things right. Amen. So what James is saying here, think about it. Understand the serious nature. It's not about you. It's not about your power play. It's not about, you know, jockeying for power and wanting to feel meaningful and purposeful in the body of Christ. It's not about that. Reminds me of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he's laid the foundation and not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Count the cost. Not trying to discourage anybody here from teaching. We need teachers. Just count the cost. Now, teaching is very powerful. Isn't it? The influence of a teacher is so great. How a teacher can literally steer a person's life in a certain direction for the rest of their life. One commentator said, and I love this, he said, teachers wield incredible power. Young or untaught minds in the hands of a skilled teacher are like clay in a potter's hands. Such a teacher is closely watched by his or her students, and often the teacher's attitudes and personal morals have as much influence as the information conveyed, perhaps more. Even casual advice from a respected teacher can direct the course of one's whole life. Phrases such as, have you considered the theater? Or I think you would make an excellent doctor. Often propel young lives into one career or another. We must realize what power teachers have at crucial times in tender lives to crush the bloom or make it eternally flower. Teaching is power. Teaching can lead people into devastating situations. It can destroy people's lives. Who can ever forget what happened in the Guyana jungle on November 18th, 1978? Jim Jones founded his colony, Jonestown. Over 900 followers that would hang on his words as he taught, and how he influenced. Well, on that day, he murdered a California congressman and several journalists who had been concerned of reported abuse and had come to investigate. And on that day, he instructed more than 900 followers to drink purple-flavored Kool-Aid that had been laced with cyanide. And so they did. Is teaching powerful? Did the teaching of Charles Darwin have any implications to our society? How about the teaching of an Adolf Hitler? And my brother and sister in Christ, listen carefully. We have an enemy that sows false teaching everywhere. False teachers sent into society, false teachers sent into churches. False prophets sent into churches to lead Christians astray, to keep people from the truth. It's only going to get worse. Speaking of the last days, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I think we're in these days. For the time will come when they, the church, will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Who do you allow to teach you? What books do you read? What radio programs do you listen to? What TV programs do you watch? What's shaping your mind? But teaching can also do so much good, can't it? Those that teach good truth, the solid truth of God's word, that bear so much fruit. You know, I'm reminded of Pastor Chuck Smith, who's now in heaven, but for 50 years, the man preached the Bible. Just going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, verse by verse, he's on the radio. And you look at his life and the fruit that came out of his life and the people that grew up in their knowledge of Christ under his ministry and went out and became pastors. I'm a third generation guy from that. And the fruit abounds from that. See, when the truth is taught, there's health that flourishes in people's lives. And as a teacher, as teachers, we get to be a part of that. Think of a Henrietta Mears who began a little Sunday school in a church in California. And how this little children's ministry just grew and blossomed. And it ends up, it fashioned the likes of guys like those that were involved in the Navigators and Campus Crusade and all of these wonderful, wonderful ministers that came out of a Sunday to school department. Boy, there's nothing better, I think, than planting truth in the hearts of kids or in a youth group. And the potential for that. Or the great need for some of us who are more mature in the Christian faith to come alongside that brand new Christian and put our arms around that person and begin to show them things about God, grow them up, just where that can lead. So powerful. So powerful. Can be used for such evil, but also such good. We need to be absolutely certain, though, as teachers, that we're teaching the truth. And where do you find truth? Do you make it up? Is truth what you hear on the radio? Don't tell me truth is what you read on Facebook, please. Or Wikipedia, or some YouTube video. Where's our truth? My brother and sister in Christ, today more than ever, we need to be diligent students of God's word. All of us as Christians need to know what God's word teaches, and that means we need to study it. And as we teach and as we communicate truth, we teach what God's word says. Lean on God's word. You know, God has called me to be a teaching pastor in the church. You know what my job is? To teach God's word. That's it. And I got to tell you, I take that very, very seriously. You know, every now and then I'm asked,
Terry, do you get nervous talking in front of people?
You know, public speaking is a big fear in many people. You know what? That doesn't bother me at all. I'm not nervous to speak in front of people. You know what I tremble over? Here's what I tremble over. Not communicating truth in a way that's understandable. You know, we're handling the Word of God . Take it seriously. Understand it. And I've chosen it as a teaching pastor to go through the scripture like we do systematically, like we're going through the book of James verse by verse. And we go, you know, like just like I learned from Chuck and then my pastor after him, Pastor Skip. We just go through the Bible. I try to stick to the text. I don't want to preach my opinions or pop psychology. Or the latest current events. Whatever I can to stay to the text. I find safety in that. You know, I literally hide behind the Bible. And I love to go through the scripture with us on a Sunday morning, verse by verse, through a book. That is my preferred way for many reasons. Number one, it really takes away a lot of the pressure from trying to figure out what I'm going to preach on next Sunday. You wouldn't believe how many preachers I know that stress all week over what they're going to have to teach on. What am I going to teach on? Me? I just start where I left off the week before. It's very simple. And the other reason I like it is because it makes me a servant to the Word. The Bible dictates what we teach her. I don't get to skip any passages. Believe me, if I were to skip a passage in one of the books that I'm teaching, half of you would get me after service, wouldn't you? Why did you skip that section? I don't get to choose. The Bible dictates what I teach. And I found that as I go through the Bible, systematically, we're teaching truth in the balance of which it is presented in the Bible. So I don't get to ride my hobby horses. You know, I love prophecy. I love to study prophecy. I could talk about prophecy a lot. But I'm only going to talk about prophecy when I get to sections in the Bible that are prophetic. So I get to teach truth in the balance in which truth is recorded. Whatever your ministry is, whether it be to a child, to a brand new believer, in a women's ministry, in a men's ministry, in a time of counseling, teach the Bible text. Teach what the Bible has to say. That's the life-changing truth. By the way, I've entitled this message, Serious Teachers. That doesn't mean you have to be this intense teacher. You know, I've heard some teachers of God's Word that are more yellers than they are teachers. You ever heard them? They're like these militant. And you don't have to be a yeller as a teacher. Just be you. I think the best example in our life as a teacher would be who? Jesus. How did Jesus teach? Did he scream at people? Let me give you a sample of Jesus' teaching style in the greatest sermon ever preached. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that beautiful? Communicating truth in a way that people understand. In Matthew chapter 7, I love this, Jesus taught this way. He said, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? That is awesome. He says, why are you checking out splinters in other people's eyes when you got a big tree trunk growing out of your head? It would have made people laugh. People would have saw it and gone, yes. Yes, Jesus, you're right. We all have a tendency to see our own troubles as very small when they're actually very big. And we see other people's sins as being very big when they're actually pretty small compared to our own. The scripture says that the crowds would hear Jesus teach and they were astonished and delighted. Now, Jesus could also lower the boom, couldn't he? When needed. I want to close with this very important verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The battle's here. The battle is in people's minds. As the body of Christ, we communicate truth. Father, I pray that we would take this very important message to heart. Lord, I pray that you would help us to become mighty in this fight over truth. All of us. All of us who are named by the name of Christ. And you know, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me just ask you to search your heart a few little questions. I want to ask you this. Have you been a Christian for a long time? Do you got some knowledge under your belt? Do you got some experience? Okay, are you sharing that with someone else? Are you sharing that with someone else? Is there a younger brother in Christ that you can minister to? Or have you kept all that knowledge and experience bottled up for your own use when you need to be using it to teach others, train others? Perhaps you're here this morning and God has given you a unique gift of teaching. You have a spiritual gift. People have even told you. But you don't use it. Why? Teachers are needed. You know, there could be some here this morning. Maybe this is you. You're a brand new Christian. You've just come to Christ. You've given your life to Christ. You've become a brand new babe in Christ. I want to encourage you, devour God's word. Devour. You should be in church every time it's open. You should be a part of every Bible study you can get to. Devour it. Get fed. As quickly as possible, begin to learn this truth so then you can then communicate this truth with others. Perhaps there are some here this morning and you have not yet embraced Christ as your Lord and Savior. The gospel's been preached, you've heard it, you know that Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again. And if you place your faith in him and become a child in his family, but you've yet to make that decision, you have the opportunity right now to make that decision. I invite you. Open your heart to him right now. Pray this prayer with me. Lord, I open my heart to you right now. I need you. Save me. Wash away all my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. Put your Spirit in me. Help me to learn your word and know your truth and use me as a spokesperson for you. Yes, Lord. Let's stand together.